All right, good morning.
Good morning.
As we know, we're entering the 3 weeks once again, unfortunately. And I figured we'll talk about a topic that sheds light on the 3 weeks, not specifically in 3 weeks, but the whole concept of Yisrael Bein Ha'amim, how Klal Yisrael is amongst the nations, our uniqueness, the differences between Klal Yisrael and the nations, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'd like to bring it out. Much of the shiur today is going to be focused on the tefillah of Aleinu. There's going to be a lot of, probably many concepts that you were never exposed to, perhaps. It's a fascinating, fascinating Indian. We're going to have to develop it. Much of what I'm saying today is not my own, it's from others. But I just sort of pulled it together, compiled it. To start off, we're all familiar with the tefillah of Aleinu. We say Aleinu after every single tefillah. Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Weekdays, Shabbos, Yom Tov. There's not a tefillah that doesn't go by without having an ending of Aleinu. What's so unique about this tefillah? Why did Chazal, why were they misaken this tefillah of Aleinu after every single Shmon Esrei? What's the connection? What's so important about Aleinu? What's the connection that it has with Shmon Esrei? And it's interesting. Shacharis, Mincha and Ma'ariv differ in the tefillahs that precede the Shmon Esrei. Shacharis has Pesukah Dezimra and Birkas Kriya Shema, and Mincha is just Ashrei, and Ma'ariv has its brachas. Each one has a different set of hakdama, a different set of tefillahs that precede the Shmon Esrei. And so too, after Shmon Esrei, Shacharis has Tachnun with Ashrei Valatzin, Mincha just has Tachnun, and Ma'ariv doesn't even have that. But one thing is that Tzad HaShava, the common denominator of them all is that they all end with Aleinu. Aleinu always follows every single Shmon Esrei. And not just follows every Shmon Esrei, but is actually placed specifically at the end of Davening. End of each tefillah has Aleinu. Why? What was Aleinu placed there? Another question is that to the extent that there is something unique that unites Aleinu with Shmon Esrei, that's important, why Aleinu has to be placed after Shmon Esrei, so how come on Yom Kippur, the day of all days, the holiest day of the year, there's no Aleinu, not after Shacharis, not after Musaf, not after Mincha, not after Nila. That day is an exception to the rule. 353 days out of the year, Aleinu again and again and again, and comes Yom Kippur, it's gone. No Aleinu. The only Aleinu on Yom Kippur is, on the contrary, Aleinu smack in the middle of Musaf, smack in the middle of Davening, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, that's where Aleinu is. But not at the end, it's not placed at the end of Davening. What's going on? Why do we need Aleinu? And if we do need Aleinu, why don't we have Aleinu on Yom Kippur? It's important, it's worthwhile to mention now the source of Aleinu, the origin of Aleinu, the beauty of Aleinu, and then we'll try to develop it and get a better understanding of how it applies to us, how it applies to our davening. How important it is. It's not just important, it's vital. It's so crucial to our davening that if you miss a person, Chalila misses Aleinu, he could botch up his whole tefillah. Because I'll say that Aleinu is an unbelievable expression of Malchus Shemayim, of the kingdom of Hashem, the reign over humanity, the reign over the world. It's such a special tefillah. And as like I mentioned, it was placed in the middle of Yom Neraim Shmon Esrei, right at the beginning of the tefillah where we're talking about Malchus. It's the Hagdama to Malchus, the Hagdama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reign on the world, his kingdom is placed with Aleinu. That's the highest Shvach, Rav Haigoin, the Chubis Rav Haigoin, brought down in many Svarim, says there is no other praise like Aleinu. It is Oyla Akol Tishbaruch Hu. It's higher than any other praise in the world of Hashem. It's the highest praise a person could have. The highest praise a person could reach when he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah brings down is a Mishnah Berurah. It is not like Sifrei Kabbalah. The Mishnah Berurah, as a halacha, say, if it brings down that a person to say Aleinu be'emu uveyira with fear and trepidation, because all the hosts of heaven are listening to you, the Yid who's saying Aleinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing there, Kivayachal, with Pamay, with his whole entourage. After a Yid says Aleinu, everyone replies, all the Malachim, the entire Pamay Shamaylo, replies, Ashrei, they exclaim, Ashrei Ha'om Shekacholoi, how fortunate is such a nation that this is to that nation, Ashrei Ha'om Shehashem Alakov. That's when a person says Aleinu. The Rambam Paskins and Kufla Mebeis over there, that a person after Shemoneh Esrei, he's supposed to say Aleinu standing up, and he's supposed to be careful to say it with Kavana. Who authored Aleinu? When did it start? Yeshua was the one who authored Aleinu. He authored it when Klal Yisrael was entering Eretz Yisrael. They were going to conquer Yericho. And to be able to have that schus to conquer Yericho, Yeshua on the spot authored the tefillah of Aleinu. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who enacted that we should say Aleinu after every single tefillah, every single day we should say Aleinu. Where do you see, where is there a simon in Aleinu that Yeshua was the author? So the Svarim say, if you look at Aleinu, and you'll see, let's take the first stand that starts, Aleinu l'shebek, it starts with an ayin. And then if you skip a couple of lines, then it starts Shalai Samchel Keinu, which starts with a shin. And then you skip a line, it says Va'anachnu Kairim, it starts with a vav. And then you skip a line, Hu Elokeinu, which starts with a hey. Ayin, shin, vav, hey. Backwards, it's spelled Hoshea. That's Yeshua. That's how he inserted his name into the tefillah. There are 152 words in Aleinu, which the Rekeach says is equivalent to the gematria of Ben Nun. Beis Nun is 52, and Nun, without the Vav, is another 100, Nun. Together, it's 152. That's the gematria of the same, of Ben Nun, is the same amount of words that there are in Aleinu. Aleinu l'shebeach, the beginning of Aleinu l'shebeach, those words, those two words, Aleinu l'shebeach, is a gematria of 506, which corresponds to shor, an axe. That was the way we refer to Yeshua. Yeshua was the axe. If you look in the brach of the Torah, it says, Bechor shor. He's the firstborn axe of Yosef. He's the firstborn axe, his descendant. The leader of Klal Yisrael is the firstborn axe. Who was that referring to? It was referring to Yeshua. Yeshua is the shor. And that's Aleinu l'shebeach. And Yeshua comes from Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik himself was called the shor. You look at the beginning of the second paragraph, it starts with Alkein Nekava. Rosh Tevis is Ayin Chof Nun. The beginning of the words. Ayin Chof Nun is Achon. And this is already a machloikis, whether Achon was the author of it, or Yeshua is the author of it, because he was the one who dealt with Achon. But either way, it happened at the times of Yeshua. Yeshua certainly composed the first paragraph, and many hold that he composed the second paragraph as well. When he was surrounding Yericho, when Klal Yisrael was surrounding Yericho, he instituted this tefillah, and Klal Yisrael as a whole collectively said this tefillah forwards and backwards 7 times. And every time they completed Aleinu, another wall of Yericho fell. And after completing it 7 times, the 7 walls of Yericho fell, and they were able to enter Eretz Yisrael and conquer Yericho. That means this Aleinu is the way to enter Kedusha, the way to enter Eretz Yisrael is with Aleinu. This happened. This is Yeshua. This is Aleinu. Aleinu, each paragraph starts with an ayin and ends with a dalet, which is an aid, which is a witness. Two of them are two witnesses. You have testimony. You go to a bezdin, you need two witnesses. Under a chuppah, you need two witnesses. The two paragraphs are witnesses. What are we testifying? We are giving testimony to the Malchus Shemaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reigns over this world. That is Aleinu. There's a lot to Aleinu. I'm just giving you just tidbits, you know, little catchy. There's a lot of machshava in Aleinu. I'm going to try to develop it today we'll go a little bit and we'll take it to the next step. Hopefully we'll get an appreciation, an amazing appreciation of Aleinu. Actually, I was just driven here. Rabbi Singer was kind enough to get a ride for me. And I once said this year, I said it this past Shabbos Shuv in my shul, and the person who drove me listened to the shir, and he told me today, Ad Hayoim, till today, it has an impact on the way he says Aleinu every single day. Okay, now let's understand what the purpose of Aleinu is. What is the purpose of Shmoneh Esrei? What's the purpose of davening? The purpose of Shmoneh Esrei is that when a person davens, he unlocks, he opens up gates in Shemayim that bring down Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brings down bounty and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like you're opening up a spigot, you're opening up a faucet, and water pours out. When we daven, we may not be able to see it, it may not be so direct, and we'll explain, but when we daven, we are opening up faucets of bracha, and that comes down. It not necessarily comes down to us. It comes down to the world. So when we make a tefillah for Rifeinu, we're davening for a certain person to have a refuah shleima, that person may not get better. But that refuah of bracha did come down, and that might cause someone else to get better. And so too with every bracha. When we daven for bracha, leina for panasa, the people should have a livelihood. It will help. Who? We don't know. We're bringing it down. Now, we would hope that it comes to the person who is in need. We would hope it would come to at least a yid. But slav davka comes down to the world. It could help out yidin, and it can help out people who are non-Jews. It's tefillah brings down bracha, brings down shefa, and we're not in control of where it goes. When we bring down shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're bringing down this bounty, this blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What protects that bracha that it should reach its destination? What makes sure that that bracha shouldn't be seized and snatched away by the Ummah Yisraelim, by the nations of the world? What protects and secures that bracha that it should go to Klal Yisrael? And that is, the Sfarim say, that is Aleinu. The Arizal says, this is the purpose of Aleinu. A person daven Shmoneh Esrei with amazing kavana, can have a 10-minute Shmoneh Esrei, opens up gates and windows in Shemayim wider than anyone else. And then at the end of davening, he's running out, and his Aleinu is what we call chaplapt. So what happens? Amazing bracha came down. But what happens is that bracha is seized by the nations of the world, by the Ummah Sa'ilam. And it unfortunately not only doesn't go to him, it doesn't go to Yidin Bachal. It gets stolen, so to speak, taken away. And what protects that bracha is Aleinu. And therefore Aleinu was instituted after every single Shmoneh Esrei. After every Shmoneh Esrei, you want to protect and secure that bracha, that's why we need Aleinu. I'll give you a marshal. So we'll get there. We'll explain. Just let me bring you out with a marshal. Actually, I'm going to share with the Elim two mashalim today. The marshal brought down is a marshal that, can you imagine, a person was in desperate need of parnasa. He needed supplies. He didn't have food. He needed supplies. He had no other eights. What he did was, he decided he's going to beseech the king. So he sends a letter to the king explaining his plight, explaining his terrible situation, and requesting of the king, crying out to the king, please send me supplies. I need food, I need clothing. And that warms up the heart of the king. The king becomes merciful and is nisayrer. And the king says, sure, no problem. And he fills a wagon full of supplies and sends it to a far off country where this person lives. Now the wagon has to travel through city and city and city. It goes through one city and the next city. It has to travel a dozen cities till it finally reaches the request of the person who sent the letter, who lives 12 cities away. And as it's traveling through the city, everyone sees, they're marveling, wow, a wagon full of supplies, no one's watching it, I could use that shirt, and I could use that suit, and everyone just like helps themselves, and slowly but surely everyone just picks things off the wagon, one by one. Finally, by the time it gets to the destination, the wagon is empty. So yes, he got a wagon, there was something sent, he got a FedEx, he opens it up, the check's missing, and it's gone. That's basically what we are doing. We daven Shemoneh Esrei, we beseech the Melech, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sends us this wagon laden with good stuff. And by the time it comes down through all the worlds until finally it reaches us, it's an empty wagon because it was stolen. People took stuff away. It was divested. It went to other destinations. It was meant to go to us, but it was just snatched. And Aleinu secures that. But the truth is, I would like to extend this mashal, because the mashal doesn't capture its full essence. Because it's not the pshat that it's snatched away by other people. The Sfarim say it is snatched away by our enemies. It's snatched away by the Ummah Sa'ilam. It's snatched away by the Goyim who hate us, who despise us, who cause us terrible tragedies, who cause us gzeiros. And by making that bracha and they snatch it away, what we're actually doing is chulila reinforcing them. We are helping them. We are building them up. It would be more perhaps comparable to the following mashal. There's a war-torn zone, and the army that's under a siege, under attack, is running out of supplies, and the civilians are running out of food. So comes the allied countries, and what they do is they drop ship supplies into these war-torn zones. Now, seems simple. It's far from simple. The logistics are complicated because you drop a supply, it's out in the open. The enemy sees it's coming down. What stops the enemy from seizing those supplies? And not only doesn't it reach the country that's under attack, but the attackers gain from it. The attackers take the weapons. The attackers take the food and supplies. The logistics are complicated that they have to figure out when and how to send it and drop it in a way that they'll know for sure that it doesn't go to the enemy. And how many times, if you're following the news, how many times it doesn't happen? How many times does it get divested and it falls into enemy's hands? That's exactly what happens by Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei, we bring it down and the enemies will take it. The enemies will swallow it all up. If we don't say Aleinu at the end of the day, Aleinu is the Shmira. Aleinu is our protection. Aleinu is like placing a watchman on the wagon along that entire trip to make sure that no one gets to it. It's now secure in an armed vehicle. So make sure that no one takes from that bounty and it reaches its proper destination. And that's why it's placed specifically at the end of the davening. Because each tefillah opens up certain gates and windows of Shefa. And finally, at the end, when we want to protect that, we want to capture that, and make sure, secure it, we need an Aleinu. And Aleinu is always placed at the end of every single Shemoneh Esrei. It's an amazing makshava, they go on and on with it. It's. I think we'll stop with that on this level. Now, I ask another question. So how come on Yom Kippur, of the days of all days, the holiest of all days, don't we have Aleinu? Not once. Not at the end of any, not Shachris, not Mincha, not Mut, not Nila, nothing. What's the reason? And perhaps the pshat is, and this is my suggestion, perhaps the pshat is because we all know the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav, says that Satan is Gematria, Hasatan, right? What's the question? It's 364. There's one day out of the year that a Satan cannot be Mekatrik. There's one day out of the year that the Satan has no ability, has no power. And that is the day of Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, B'yoymeti Kippure on Yom Kippur, let lay Rishusa, he has no permission, La'astuni, to cause any trouble. That's the only day of the year he has no ability to cause any trouble. So, if that's the case, we're protected. We're good to go. We say Shemoneh Esrei, the chef is coming. We don't need protection. The Satan's helpless. The Ummah Sa'ilam are helpless on the day of Yom Kippur. They have no power. They have no ability. They have no permission to even cause any tzara. So Mimela, on the day of Yom Kippur, we're protected. We don't need to place that watchman on the wagon. We don't need to say Aleinu at the end of each tefillah. We're good to go. Mimela, every single day of the year, every single Shemoneh Esrei of the year has Aleinu placed at the end. And on Yom Kippur, there is no Aleinu at the end of davening. Alright, Rabbi said, this is the Hagdama. I would like to take it to a deeper level. A much deeper level. We say Aleinu, and quite frankly, probably we don't have the foggiest idea of what we're saying. Maybe we'll know what we call Pirush HaMilah's translation. I hope we do. But I would like to shed the light, pull off a bit of the surface. There are layers and layers of surfaces here. I would like to just peel one of them and let you see, show you what's going on beneath the scene, what you're really doing in Aleinu, and how this is a gevaldika, how this is a powerful shvach, a praise to Hashem, and why perhaps it works to protect that bounty, to separate and keep distant the Ummah Sa'ilam from snatching and seizing this shefa.
How will that work together with Yeshua writing?
So, that I didn't see. It's a good question. Perhaps his question is, so why was it important to Yeshua to say, like, how does it work to conquer Eureka? What's going on then? It's not after a tefillah, what's going on then? And I believe is perhaps a suggestion is that Eureka was that as we entered Eretz Yisrael, as we are entering Kedusha, to be able to seize that Kedusha, to what we call is to reveal Kvod Malchus Shemaim in this world. Eretz Yisrael is the palace of the king, of Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And when we're trying to connect, not just connect, we're trying to be the ambassadors of Kvod Malchus Shemayim. We're trying to live a life in Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that should be the Mokum, the place of Shechinah, to have the base of Mikdash. When we're trying to be the ambassador who are screaming out to the world, Hashem is Echad, that's why we need Aleinu. That is what Aleinu is all about. To show why Hashem's Echad and Am Yisrael's Echad, and I'm going to show you why Hashem is Echad and how that relates to us, why we're Echad, and that's why we are the true ambassadors of Hashem. We are the true ambassadors of Malchus Shemayim. And that's at the very beginning, as we enter Eretz Yisrael, we're trying to begin conquering Eretz Yisrael. That's where Aleinu comes into place.
Actually, just the opposite is that after 40 years of being in the Midbar, being in Shechina clouds and learning in the Beit Hamikdash, and now we're taking leave of Hashem, now we're entering the real world, so this is so too we were davening, and now we're leaving our davening.
We're leaving the world of Nisim, and we're entering the world here, but it's Faket, because just a suggestion is that the job here is to elevate this world above, to mimiyaches, to associate, to, I don't know what the right word is, to associate, to connect, to show how this world is really connected to Malchus Shemayim. When we're living in the clouds, when we're living in Anisim, that's Hashem's doing that. Our avoda, our job is to show why this shtender is called Malchus Shemayim, to show why this table is called Malchus Shemayim, to show why every tefillah, everything we do, every human being is called Malchus Shemayim. We're screaming out Hashem Echad, and that's Eretz Yisrael. That's when we're living in this world, we're trying to show that this world could also have Kedusha. This world is also Hashem's world. This world is also screaming out that there is only one Hashem, and He's in total control. He is the Yotzei Bereishis, the Adin HaKoyel. And that is Aleinu. And we'll try to develop it. I just want to focus, before we start, to try to shed light on Aleinu. And this is amazing. Rabbi said, this is an amazing piece. I doubt anyone here had this understanding of Aleinu, unless you look through the Svarim. I doubt it. But it's an amazing. I just want to focus. I'm sure some of you must have had this problem already. Is that you read Aleinu, it seems to be repetitious. Every single stanza is doubled over. Every single stanza, it seems to be verbose. Every single stanza is like, not necessary. I'll explain. Let's try it. Let's take the first one. Aleinu on us, l'shabek l'adoin hakol. We should praise the Adoin hakol, the master of everyone. Lo says gedula l'yaitzah bereshis. To give gedula, greatness, to the creator of the world, the creator of creation, Le'etze Bereshis. I don't have the English side, so I don't have articles. I can't cheat here. So the Shaila is like this. What in the world is the difference between giving Shevach to Adon HaKoil and giving Gedula Le'etze Bereshis? Isn't Adon HaKoil the Le'etze Bereshis? Isn't Shevach Gedula? It just seems to be repetitious. Right, I have nothing to do, say it twice. And then the next line again. Shulayasanu kagoye arotis. He didn't make us like the nations of the lands. Vilaysamanu, and he didn't place us kemishbukas adam, like the families of the earth. What in the world is the difference between loyasanu kagoye arotis and loyasamanu kemishbukas adam? It seems to be the exact same thing. And then third stanza. Shulaysam kokenu kehem. He didn't make our portion like them, the Gerolenu Kecholamainim, like the lots, Kecholam, like all the multitudes. I don't know what Oscar says. Good. So, it also seems to be just doubled over. What's going on here? Shem Mishtachim Level Varik, they bow down to Shtus and Vavalim, Umispalalim El Lo Yeshia. What is the difference between Mishtachim Level Varik, they bow down to Hevel Varik, and they daven El Lo Yeshia, to a God that doesn't have Savior? What is the difference? So it seems to be like we have nothing to do with ourselves. We have extra time at the end of the davening. No one's in a rush to go to work. So what we'll do is we'll just say extra words at the end of the davening, double over everything again and again. Maybe we should just say Shmoneh Esrei twice also. What's going on here? We actually do. We say Chazor HaSajat. What in the world are we doing here? What's going on? All right? Now this kasha probably a lot of you had. And I'm going to share with you what is going on here. Perhaps, what the Sforim say is going on here. Obviously, only one interpretation. There's a lot of levels and levels. We're just going to try to get to the first level. But I need an introduction. I need to go through a whole beautiful sugya, which I'm sure already learned through. And it's like this. On Yom Tov of Sukkot, we bring karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Many different types of karbonis. One of the karbonis that we bring are Purim. Are cows. What's unique about this carbon is whereas all the other carbonis are fixed every single day of the 7 days of Sukkot, has the exact same number of carbonis, with one exception, and that is the cows. Day one, 13. Day two, 12. Day three, 11. Every day we go one by one less. Finally, day seven, we bring only 7 cows. We go from 13 all the way down to 7 every day. It's unique. What's going on? If you make a cheshbon, calculate, count up all the cows, 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10, 9, 8, 7, comes out to be exactly 70. Good. So there's 70 cows that we bring over the entire yontif of Sukkot, and every day one less. The Gemara in Sukkot explains, what's the cheshbin? Why do we bring 70 cows? The reason is because these 70 cows are the kabbonis that we bring for the Umas Olam, for the Goyim. We are bringing these cows for the Goyim. There are 70 cows because there are 70 nations. Each cow corresponds to another nation. Everyone knows there are Ein Umas Olam, there are 70 nations of the world. It's repeated in Chazal again and again. There are 70 nations, and every day we bring a certain amount of cows to correspond. Finally, the totality, we have collectively 70 cows against each nation. And why every day do we deduct one cow? Every day is going lower and lower. So that Rashi brings down in Chumash, it's from a Medrash. Rashi says the reason is because we're trying to show that every day, really, this is where they're headed. Every day they get reduced and reduced. Every day we get closer and closer to the end of time, so to speak, till the days of Mashiach. And every day they are slowly and slowly being mismatim v'hochim. Until finally, la'asad la'avayim yet Hashem, there will be a time where the nations will cease to exist, and the only ones remaining will be Am Yisrael. We will be an Am Echad. Right now we are also Am Echad. We are unique. But then it will be the Mamish, the Am Echad, will be the only nation left. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk says, "Es a kolam b'cholagayim." I will totally wipe out all the nations, and the only nation that will remain is Klal Yisrael. In fact, it's this week's parsha. Tomorrow we're laning Balak. And what does it say in the parsha of Balak? It says, "Hen am levadad yishkain." It's a nation that dwells alone. Uvagoyim lo yischashav, and he won't be counted amongst the nations. And Umklis and Rashi both translate, what does this mean? What is this referring to? It's referring to the future, when there will be an only one nation remaining in Klai Yisrael. Hein am levadod yishkoin. There will be only one nation left, because all the goyim will be wiped out. Uvagoyim lo yiskashav. Klai Yisrael won't be wiped out together with all the nations. Gevaldik. Very nice. So that's the difference between all the 7 days. But Rabbi Yisrael, if you look through the psukim, I'm going to share with you a fascinating going that's going to knock your socks off. Literally, it's mamish and it's Torah min hashamayim. If you look through the psukim, you'll see that there's one other thing. You look through the psukim, and you see that the pasuk repeats itself every day of Sukkot again and again and again. Seems to be repetitive, just again the same words again and again. What in the world does the Rebbeinu Shalom want? But there's one nafkamina every single day. And that is, if you look at the end, the last pasuk of each section, when it refers to the so'ir, the he-goat that was brought, on day one, it refers to the he-goat as u'si'ir izim echod chatas. One si'ir izim will be brought for a chatas. How to translate si'ir izim? It's a he-goat of goats. I don't know, that's my best guess. Okay? Comes the next day, day two. Again, Seir Izim Echad, a he-goat of goats. All of a sudden, day three says, Useir Chatas Echad, just a he-goat. Where's the Izim? No, Izim's gone. Day four, we're back to Izim, Seir Izim. So day one, two, and four says Seir Izim. Day three, five, six, and seven, no Izim, just Seir. You know, you think that all the psukim are the same. It's not the same at all. One, two, and four says Seir Izim. Three, five, six, and seven just says Seir. What is the Torah teaching us with this? Simple question. Obviously, there's a meaning for it. It wasn't a mistake. What's going on? Zakta Goyin, an amazing, amazing Vilna Goyin. The Goyin says like this. In the Zayar is Mavua. In the Zohar is Mavua that there are 70 nations of the world. But the truth is that there are two groups. There are two groups of 35. And each group has a leader. One is Yishmael. And one is Esav. Yishmael heads one whole classification. The half of the Umas Olam file rank under Yishmael. And there's a whole other section, another 35 nations that far rank under Esav. They draw their unique, their nourishment, they nurture, their whole chiyus, their existence in the world is rooted, one in Esav and one in Yishmael. Half and half, 35 and 35. Amazing, right? Now, Zakta Goyin continues the Goyin. It's also Mavu and Nezayin Nesfar Makadoshim. That when we want to refer to Yishmael, a code word for Yishmael is Seir Izim. And a code word for Esav is Seir. One is referring to Yishmael. Seir Izim means Yishmael. And is Seir. Means Esav. And the Goyin says, Shiva Asa Betames. Rabbi is saying, 2 days from now we have the fast of Shiva Asa Betames. In the Slichas we refer to, we say, in the Slichas of Shiva Asa Betames, you look it up, Yachem Sondi will have Kavona. Hatzofir v'hatzoyir. Tzofir is the Unkles' translation. Seir Izim is Tzofir. Tzofir v'hatzoyir. There's the Seir Izim, and then there's the Soyer, the regular Soyer. One is going on Yishmael, and one is going on Esav. Now, Zog the Goy, now, with that understanding, with that backdrop, he says, Pasha, the psukim make a lot of sense. Figure it out, Rabbi said. There's 35 and 35. If you had to make the cheshbon, you had to say, remember, there's 70 kabbonis corresponding to the 70 nations, and you want to have 35 to the nations under Yishmael, and 35 to the nations under Esav. Go figure the math. How do you divide it? Which days go to whom? Well, very simple. If day one, when there were 13 kabbonis, and day two, there were 12 kabbonis, and day four, there were 10 kabbonis, 13 plus 12 is 25. Day four, 10 plus 10 is 35. There you have it. There are 35 kabbonis for the same reason. And then, day three, which had 11 and day 5, which had 9, and then 8, and then 7, add up 11, 9, 8, and 7, it's also 35. There you have it. It was a 35 for Esav. And who was older? Yishmael or Esav? Shmuel was older. Yishmael was the son of Avram, and Esav was the grandson of Avram. So of course Yishmael has to go first. So day 1 and day 2 talks about Seir Ezim, which is Yishmael. So you already got to 25. You can't have day 3, then you'll have 36. It's too much. So you got to skip day 3. We get to day 4, that has 10. There you go, Yishmael. You got your 35 kavanas, all your nations under you. You're good to go. And then when we deal with Esav, we have day 3 for Esav, and day 5, and day 6, and day 7. There, Esav, you also have your 35 kavanas. Now you're good to go. So the 70 kabbonis were corresponding to the 70 nations, specifically 35 under Yishmael, under Seir Ezim, and 35 under Esav, under Seir. Now isn't that Torah Min HaShemayim? Isn't it amazing? You need to be a going to figure that out, but it's amazing. Amazing! By the way, this is every pasuk like that, just need to be a going to figure it out. But every pasuk has these verses, like it's gavald. Alright, faster going. Now, let's, Rabbi said, what we see from the Goyin and the Sfarim say it, is that the Ummah Sa'ilim, the 70 nations, were divided into two camps, Yishmael and Esav. How do you know which camp the nations belong to? Well, the Midah of Yishmael and the Midah of Esav are two opposites, two different Midahs of Ra in the world, two different, what's a Midah? Two different conducts of Ra in the world, traits of Ra in the world. Yishmael is Taiva, desire. Yishmael is what we call on the right, and Esav is hezek, is kas, is anger and destruction and damage and sin is chinam. That's Esav. That's Ace. That's the shor. That's Esav. The shor is Ace. That's on the left. All the nations have a trait, a bad trait. Each one a unique bad trait. But they all come back to a source, to an origin of the bad trait. The root of all bad traits either falls under taiva or falls under kas, under desires, lust and other desires, or under kas. The 35 nations that are rooted in taiva are under Yishmael on the right. And the 35 nations that are rooted under kas, under anger, under being nasty, under destruction, that's rooted under Esav on the left. So now you have two specific camps, Yishmael and Esav. One on the right, one on the left. And Klai Yisrael is in the middle, dead center. We're lined up with Hashem. We are Kuloi Toiv. We have Yishmael, poof, to the right. They went off. They veered off. And we have Esav veering off to the left with all the nations underneath them. And we are dead center. We are the Am Echad, Miyuchad, aligned center with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright. That is why Aleinu has a dual repetitive Lashonis. What we are showing here, and I'm going to go through one by one, and I'm fascinating, I'm going to show you why what we're doing here, is we are referring to the nations of the world, yes, but there are two branches. There's the Yishmael branch and 35 nations, and the Esav branch in the 35 nations. And we'll go through and we'll show you why specifically these words are not just by chance. Specifically these words, some words mean Yishmael, and some words mean Esav. And that is what we're doing. We're showing you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you create us not like the Esavs on the left and not like the Yishmaels on the right. We are dead center, aligned with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad, and we are the Am Echad. Now let's go through this. Let's just start. We'll take apart three of them. We're not going to have time to do everything, obviously, but we're going to do three of them. Shelo yasanu kegoye haratzos. He did not make us like the goye haratzos. V'leisamanu kemishpo kos ha'adama. What in the world is the difference between goye haratzos, the nations of the land, and mishpo kos ha'adama, and the families of the earth? Sounds to me the same thing. Who are the goye haratzos, and who are the mishpo kos ha'adama? So the Svarim say that these two collectively, Goy Aratzes and Mishpo Kos Ha'adama, are collectively the 70 nations. Great, okay, fine. So now we know, we're good. Those are referring to, but still, who are the Goy Aratzes and who are the Mishpo Kos Ha'adama? It's half and half. 35 are the Mishpo Kos Ha'adama and 35 are the Goy Aratzes. Some under Yishmael and some under Esav. And I'm going to show you, I'll prove it to you. This terminology, Mishpo Kos Ha'adama, Goy Aratzes, is in the Torah. Avraham was the Av Hamoin Goyim. He was the leader of all nations. Through him, he was the conduit of all bracha to the world, to all the nations. He was the father, the forefather of all the nations. He actually fathered not only Klal Yisrael, but he fathered Yishmael and Esav as well. And all the other nations that fall under them as well. In the Torah, by Avraham, we have both of these terminologies. The Torah refers to, by Avraham, a number of places. Let's say, in Bereshis, Yidbeis, V'nivrachu V'cha, Kol Mishbechais Ha'adama. So there you have it. With you will be gebenched. Bracha will come through you to all the Mishbechais Ha'adama. So you see, Avraham is associated with the Mishbechais Ha'adama. They thrive. They are nurtured through Avraham. Yet it says, a little later, it says in Perek Yudches, V'nivrachu voy kol goyei haratzis, kol goyei haretz. And again in Perek Chavez again, V'zbaruch b'zarko kol goyei haretz. So through you will come, will be gebenched, will be blessed, all the goyei haratzis. So you see, from Avram, all the mishpachas adama get bracha, and from Avram, all the goyei haratzis get bracha. So Avram has both branches. Now, let's move on. How about Yitzchak? What does Bai say about Yitzchak? In Yitzchak, we only find one of the terminologies. In Perek Chavav, in Bereishis, it says, "Vizbaruchu zaracha kol goyei haaretz." By Yitzchak, it only says goyei haaretz. Doesn't say anything about Mishpachas Adama. Bracha doesn't come through Yitzchak to Mishpachas Adama. Only through goyei haaretz. And by Yaakov, it's the other way around. By Yaakov, in Perek Chavkas, it says, "Vinivruchu v'cha kol Mishpachas Adama." By Yaakov gets Mishpachas Adama, but not goyei haaretz. So goyei haaretz has to do with Yitzchak, and Mishpachas Adama has to do with Yaakov. Well, we all know the arch enemy of Yitzchak was Yishmael. The split was Yitzchak and Yishmael, and the split was Yaakov and Esav. Through Yitzchak, Yishmael gets nurtured, and through Yaakov, Esav gets nurtured. Yitzchak, it says the terminology goyei haaretz, because it's referring to Yishmael. Yishmael is the goyei haaretz, and Esav is the Mishpachas Adama. So through Yaakov gets the Mishpachas Adama, Esav and his nations. So goyei haaretz and Mishpachas Adama is the 70 nations combined, but specifically goyei haaretz is Yishmael, and Mishpachas Adama is Esav. Very geschmack. All right. Another note is Mishpachas Adama. That terminology Mishpachas we also find by Esav. That's in Perek Lamevav Pasuk Mem. It refers to Esav Mishpachasim. That concept of Mishpachas Adama is Esav, and Goyei Haaretz is Yishmael. All right. One more point, just to, before we go on to the next thing. If you see on Shabbos davening, we say in our Shabbos tefillah like this, V'leinasata Hashem Elokeinu l'goyei haaretz. He did not give Shabbos to the goyei haaretz. V'leinakal toy makeinu l'oiv depesilim, and he didn't give it to the ones who worship objects. V'gam b'mnuchos l'ishkun areilim, and he didn't give it to the areilim, the ones who are not circumcised. Now we all know that Yishmael had circumcision, and Yishmael doesn't worship items. There's no crosses. They don't worship items, right? And the Rambam, in the Tshuva Rambam says that Yishmael are not under Oivdei Pesilim and Areilim. So very geschmack, because like we said, Goyei haaretz is Yishmael. So therefore we say Loi Nosat Hashem Elokeinu L'Goyei haaretz, not to Yishmael. And besides Yishmael, and he didn't give it to the Oivdei Pesilim, and he didn't give it to the Yishka Areilim, because Yishmael is not Areilim. Yishmael is not the Oivdei Pesilim. Yishmael is Goyei haaretz. All right, that's the first thing. Let's move on. Rabbi says it gets even better. It's Mamish as we go along. The second and the third is so powerful that it's referring to Yishmael and Esav. Let's move on. It says the word Shalaisam Chelkeinu Kahem V'Garaleinu Kuchal Amayinim. He didn't give Shalaisam. He didn't give place Chelkeinu our portion like them and our girl, our lot Kuchal Amayinim. What is the difference between a chelik, a portion, and a girl, a lot? What is the difference between a portion and a lot? Seems to be the same thing. What's the difference? There's an amazing Meshech Chokhmah, which I hope the Olam, did the Olam see the Meshech Chokhmah?
Yes,
okay. The Meshech Chokhmah says like this, I'll say it over. The Pasuk in Azinu says, Ki chelek Hashem amoy Yaakov chevo nachlozai. Ki chelek Hashem, Hashem's portion is his nation, it's Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov is the chevo nachlozai, the chevo of his inheritance. The Targum says, what is chevo? Adav. Adav means a girl, a lot. So here you have in one pasuk, chelik, a portion, Chevel, which means a lot, a goyel, and Aklos inheritance. What's the difference between a portion, a lot, and an inheritance? And the Meshech Chacham points out that we say the exact same three lishonis every day in our tefillin kabbonis. We say, Matoiv Chalkeinu, Umanoim Goyelin, how good is our chelik, our portion, Umanoim, how pleasant is our goyel, is our lot, Umayofen, how beautiful Yerushalayim is our inheritance. So there you have it. Chelik, Goyel and Yerusha. A portion, a lot, and an inheritance. Again, what's going on? What's the difference between a portion, a lot, and an inheritance? Zok de Meshech Chochma. Beautiful. The difference between a portion and a lot is, a portion is what's rightfully yours, what makes sense, what you deserve, and a goyel, I won the lottery. Yeah, I won the raffle. Was I supposed to win the raffle? Well, Ashkal Kabratza said I won the raffle. But I know that before and I was supposed to win the raffle. No, why should I win the raffle more than the other 1,000 people? I don't have any more right to it than anyone. If I'm a partner in a firm, so I have a chelik in that firm. I'm a partner in a business. So I have a portion. It's rightfully mine. I don't own the whole business. I share it, per se, okay? But I have a chelik in it. But a girl, something that's, I don't have a chelik. It's not mine. But I won. I got it. Why? Hashem's rachmanis, Hashem's goodness gave it to me. But I don't deserve it. It wasn't mine. I didn't have a right to it. That's between a chelik and a goyel. Avram Avinu, Chazal say that Avram Avinu was not created perfect. Avram Avinu had what we call zuhama. Good, filth, contamination, spiritual contamination. He had some zuhama. We all know that Avram Avinu excelled in chesed. Right? And doing good deeds. Well, when someone does good deeds and he's like into other people and that could lead, if there's something wrong with there, if there's even 1/1,000,000,000%, something gets wrong in there, that could lead to taiva. Person's interested in goodness and helping constantly, helping others, well, he could also be distorted and take it for himself, so to speak. And he could also have taiva. So Avraham Avinu was not created perfect. He had a drop of zuma. He excelled in chesed. But that zuma had to be filtered out of his descendants. So how was that done? HaKadosh Baruch had a simple answer. We'll give Avraham 2 kids. One will get the filth, and one will get the goodness. Yitzchak got the goodness, and Yishmael got the filth. He got the zuma. Therefore, Yishmael's off. He went off onto taiva. He went off onto desire, onto lust. That's where Yishmael went off. Because if you have a distorted chesed, you'll end up with taiva. That's what it is. So when Yishmael is the distorted version, so to speak, of Avram, so he's off, he's rooted in Ra, he has a bad trait of taiva. Yitzchak was not created perfect. And we also had to go through a filtering process. Yitzchak, as we know, was din, was gvura. That was Yitzchak. Now, that's great. Kavish is a Yetzer. He could fight over the Yetzer Hara and he could do Avedis Hashem. But if you have a distortion in Din, if you don't know your boundaries and you apply Din to other people, you're nasty. Then you could be Hitler Yamach Shemai. Then you could be an Asaph. Then you could be a Mazik, right? So when we had to filter out the Din and make that perfect, so Kavish got an Yetzer, what we'll do is we'll have 2 kids. Of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov will get the good and Esav will get the bad. Esav will get the distorted version of Din. He'll be the Mazik. He'll be the terror of the world. He'll be the person who just is an anti-Semite. He'll be that tzara of the world making Zayr. So that will be Esav. So now, in this filtering process, so it's very nice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us the perfect species, because Yaakov was the Ishtam, he was perfect. Yaakov didn't have any Zuma, Paska Zumas, and already sees all this defilement, already it ceased to exist by the time Yaakov got around. But the question is, why were we Zaycha? Why did Yitzchak get the good and Yishmael the bad? Maybe it should have been the other way around. And why did Yaakov get the good and Esau get the bad? Maybe it should have been the other way around. So, says the Meshech Chochma. Well, between Yitzchak and Yishmael makes a lot of sense why Yitzchak got the good and Yishmael got the bad. Because although they shared the same father, but their mothers were not alike. Yitzchak Avinu's mother was Sarim and or Tzedekis. And Yishmael's mother was Hagar, Shifcha, Mitzris. So it makes a lot of sense if you have to choose who should get the good and who should get the bad. Makes sense. Let Yitzchak get the good and Yishmael get the bad. So Yitzchak got the good chelik a good portion, because it was rightfully his. He deserved it. He was better than Yishmael. He had better yichus than Yishmael. He deserved it. So he got the chelik hatoiv, the good chelik, the good portion, and Yishmael got the bad portion. But now let's go to the next generation. When we're now trying to filter out Yitzchak between Esav and Yaakov, why did Esav get the bad and Yaakov get the good? Why? Yaakov and Esav shared the same parents. They had the same father. They had the same mother. In fact, they even shared the same pregnancy. They were twins. Why in the world did Yaakov get the good and Esav get the bad? That was because Yaakov won. He was lucky. But he won. He got the girl. He was fortunate. He won the lot. So when we refer to how we filter out Yitzchak to Yaakov and Esav, that means that Yaakov got a lot. He got a girl. He got the better lot. He could have Chalila lost the lot, and Esav would have gotten the Bechor, the Bracha from Yitzchak. It was just Baruch Hashem, Hashkaka Protest, that we did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed and Rachman. But it was a lot. It was a girl. He didn't deserve it more than Esav, per se. So he got a girl. See, Zok Meshachokma, now when you go to the next generation, the shift they call, the Shvatim that they inherited from Yaakov, the goodness, that was no filtering process at all. There was complete Yerusha, complete inheritance. So they got a Nachla, they got an inheritance. Zok Meshachokma, that's what it says in the Tefillah. Matoiv Chalkeinu, how great, how good is our Chalik, our portion, that's referring to Yitzchak over Yishmael. Umanoim Garaleinu, how pleasant is our lot, that's referring to Yaakov over Esav. It was a lot. Well, my Yafa Yushusain, on how beautiful our Yerusha is, our inheritance, that they're referring to the Shvatim that they inherited from Yaakov Avinu. And that's the same shot in the Pasuk, Zakta Mejachokmo, Ki Chelik Hashem Amoy, the Chelik is the portion, that's Yitzchak over Yishmael. Yaakov Chevel, Yaakov is the Goyrol, is the lot, because he's the lot. He won over Esav. That's a very good why puts Yaakov next to the word Chevel, the Goyim. And Nachlos is the next generation of all the Yorshim. Beautiful Meshech Chokma. But what I want to take out from the Meshech Chokma, Rabbi Yisai, that Chelik is how we got, how we're better off than Yishmael, how we are different, how we are unique than Yishmael, is because we got the Chelik HaToiv. And Goyim is how we are better, how we are fortunate we got the lot over Esav. So now, Rabbi, so let's look back at the words of Aleinu. Shuleisam chelkeinu kohen, he didn't give us the chelik like them. That means Yitzchak over Yishmael. Yitzchak was the rightful chelik. He was the rightful portion he got. That was our chelik. He didn't make our chelik like Yishmael's chelik. The goyroleinu kochol amoinim, and the lot, the goyro kochol amoinim, the goyro is Yaakov over Esav. That's a goyro. That's a lottery. Why is Yaakov better than Esav? They both had the same parents. It was a girl we won. V'girolenu kachol amainam, and our girl is not like kachol amainam, is not like Esav. How fortunate is our lot? So shlom chalkenu kehem is Yishmael. V'girolenu kachol amainam is referring to Esav. One more Rabbi Yisai, I'm going to be messiahing with this one, is Shehem mishtachvim lehevel vorek. Some have the gish of Lorik, but it's Vorik, Umispalim, El Lo Yeshia. I'm going to share with you an amazing, this is already Rishonim. The Koil Boy says something cryptic here. Ready for this? Vorik, Gematria. Vorik is a Gematria. And El Loy, or Lo El Loy is Gematria. That's the words of the Koil Boy. Leaves you hanging. He's telling you that you should know. Varik is 316. There's a gematria here. It's referring to something, but now let's tell you what it's referring to. And Lo'eloi is a gematria 92. It's referring to gematria. It's referring to something, but I can't tell you what it is. I'm leaving you hanging. Go figure it out. Break your head and figure it out. This is a cowboy. And such as a cowboy is many rishonim. What in the world is he saying? Comes along, Achrayim, the Kseis Hashulchan and Simuchav Dalid, and others say that there was a reason why it was left out. It was left out because of the censors. You ready for this, Rabbi Yisai? Varik is gematria 316. 316 is the gematria of Yeshu, of Yashka, the Navi of Esav. The Avia voice Navi of Esav. The forefather Navi of Esav is Yeshu, is Yashka. Shehem mishtachvim lehevel varik, they bowing down to varik is to Yoshka. All the nations that go under, fall under Esav's dominion, all the 35 nations who adopted Esav's shtusim religion is varik, is Yoshka. Umispalalim el El lo yeshio, la el lo yeshio, la el lo yis gematria 92. Who is 92? Muhammad. Mem ches mem dalet. Muhammad was the Navi of Yishmael. He was the forefather, their false prophet of Yishmael. And all the nations of Yishmael, all the Arab nations that fall under Yishmael, that worship this religion and make him the Navi, that's umespalim nedavin la'el lo yeshio, la'el lo yeshio. That's two different cases. Either it's la'el lo, which is 92, or el lo yeshio, which is gematria 93, which is the koil of 92. Bekitza, again, we are showing how Klal Yisrael differs from Yishmael and Esav. Each branch, every single stanza, it's not repetitive. We're saying something else entirely. Yishmael in the 35 on the right, Esav in the 35 on the left, and we're dead center in the middle. We're aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are keep on distancing them away from us. We are not like them on the right. We are not like them on the left. And again, we're not like them on the right. We're not like them on the left. And again, we're not like them on the right. We're not like them on the left. Again and again. That's what we're doing. We're showing you how we differ and we're distinguished. We're unique, not like Yishmael and not like Esav. One more. Maybe that's a remez. I don't know. Also, you want to know another remez? Watch this. Mishtachavim lehevel varik. Rashi Tevis, the beginning of each word is. Sorry. Shehem mishtachavim lehevel varik. Is shin mem lamed vav. Shin mem lamed vav is how much? 376. Who is Gematria 376? Esav. Esav is Gematria 376. So, hey, Mishtach Levav Arik is going on Esav and Yoshka. And Mispalum El Lo Yeshi is going on Yishmo, which is going on Muhammad. And that's what we're doing, Rabbi Yisai. And we keep on giving Shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He made us distinguished. He lined us up. We are an Am Echad Bein HaAmim. We are the ones who are the ambassadors. We are the ones who are right to give Shvach to Shemayim. We're the ones who are right to praise the actors of Hashem. The Aleinu is the actors of Hashem. It ends, each paragraph ends with actors. That there's only one Hashem. There's no one else. Not in Shemayim, not in Earth. Ein Oid, He is one. And the same thing again. He is one. There's nothing else. He is one creator, one dominion of the whole world. He reigns over everyone. He is one. And that is us. We are Roi. We are the ones who are befitting to praise Hashem, because we are also Echad, and we praise Hashem for making us Echad, for making us different than Yitro, for making us different than Esav. And therefore we are Roi to praise Hashem. It's a Gevaldik Hashvach. And now Rabbi say, now that's Pshad, perhaps, why Aleinu acts as that guard on all that Shefa. Because, again, what do we worry about? We worry that Umas Olam are snatching and stealing, looting this Shefa that's coming down. And how does Aleinu help? Aleinu distances them from us. They're far off on the right. They deviated from Emmet. They deviated from the center road. They are gone. They're off to the right. And they're off to the left. We're not like this shtusim, and we're not like that shtusim. We're dead center, and therefore we're making it that the shepherd comes down dead center to us and distances the Umas Olam from getting. The Yaivit said, and the other Sforim say as well, that Aleinu is a shmira, it's a protection from all ra, from all bad. Hey, how does that work? Because it protects the Shefa and it distances, it removes all the bad. It distances all the bad that's on the right and that on the left from us. And that is what we're doing, Rabbi Yisrael, when we say Aleinu. Alright, Rabbi Yisrael, it's Gevaldika Havana, understanding of Aleinu. Probably most of you didn't have what we're really doing here in Aleinu. Just to be Messiah, is that if Aleinu is so chashev, there is no other tefillah, there's no other praise in the world that is as chashev as Aleinu, or Rav Haigayin. It's so chashev, and it's placed at the end of tefillah for a purpose. Think for a moment, a person davened packed in a gevaldika davening, and Nebuch at the end, he's running out, and Aleinu is while he's taking off his tefillin. Or maybe it's still not ready off. Or maybe it's while he's carrying his tefillin to the car. He's saying, Aleinu, Chalila, right? Nebuch. He brought down so much Shefa. And for whom? For who did he bring it down for? Not for him. He blew it. He didn't say Aleinu properly. So who was it for? Kaiser lost that shefa. What a shot, what a loss. It went now, not only did Kaiser lose it, it went to the Umas HaOlam. For that, he davened with all that kavana? That's what he wanted? What was he doing? We have to have behind that Aleinu, at the end of that has to be done. The aim of the year of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishabruah, Kopamayu Shamala, listening, Hashem was listening. Ashri Ha'am Shekarchala, Ashri Ha'am Shehashem Aleikov. That's Aleinu, and we need Aleinu. Every single tefillah needs an Aleinu. Needs an Aleinu with Kavana. Rabbi Gamliel Rabbanovitz says over Keseda from Ashlema Zalman, Arabach Zatzal. He said, what a pity, that people make Aleinu into a tefillah saderech. They think it's a tefillah for the way. They're saying it while they're running. While they're running to work, while they're running in, they say Aleinu. It's not a tefillah saderech. Tefillah saderech is something else. This is Aleinu for Shmona Esrei. This is Aleinu for your tefillah. You need Aleinu. We need your Aleinu. We need your Shmona Esrei. Whole Klal Yisrael needs your Aleinu. We need your tefillahs. We need your shefa. And we need it to be secure. We need it to remain amongst Klal Yisrael. It would be a gewaldike schus for every one of us, for ganz Klal Yisrael, if we would just be makabel on ourselves to say Aleinu from the Siddur with a kavana for 1 month. 1 month, try to say, every time you say Aleinu, say it out of the Siddur with kavana for 1 month. You'll be accomplishing a welt, a welt, a welt. It's a gewaldike schwach. It'll be a gewaldike to Ellis, a gewaldike help for Klal Yisrael. And with that, we hold on to the Shefa, we Yisroel Ben Amim, we are Mamlek HaKadosh Baruch, that she's Hashem Echad, and we're the Am Echad. We should be Zeicha to be the Am Levodot Yishkain. We should be Zeicha to the Begoyim Lo Yizchashav. We should be the only nation dwelling alone, basking in the Shechina B'meir V'Yameinu.
Amen. Maybe that's why by the Baris is still waiting. Because that's the Torah.
He is.
That's
right. We find that Yishmael has the Torah. We just find that accessed by the Arabs, but we also find the tremendous hatred they have.
They have a hate. Avada the hate because they have kin. Kinna, they have kinna. It's a different type of a hate than means. Esav's hate is rooted in sinna, and Yishmael's hate is probably rooted in kinna. It's a different thing. It's again a distorted chesed.
Well,
a distorted taiva.
So they are kin and taiva on one side and cover it with
right.
Three?
Well, there's so many midas rois, but they all fall under two sources, either taiva or kas. Taiva is under Yishmael, and kas is under
Myrida.
So it goes there. So they have a different, they are jealous. They're jealous, it's true. And they have taivas, and the taivas lead them to do stupid things. And yeah, and the reason why they have suicide bombers is because they're proud as soon as they Zainis Allah to love it. That's their Shkar v'olam haba zaynis, and they have this sort of view of life, a sort of view of what it means to be an enemy. It's a shechina. They haven't got the foggiest idea of v'olam haba.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.